You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as a family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples. So today we have some guests with us that are really some good friends of mine that I have gotten to know over the last few years. It's kind of funny because this is their first time in Messina. But they're all the way from Uganda, Kampala, Uganda. And so many of you know that we have been working in Uganda for almost 15 years. But it wasn't until just a couple years ago that I met Pastor Richard and Dora Sinkungu. And they were shocked to find out that for 15 years I've just been driving by their church and never stopping to see them. So Pastor Dora and Richard, they pastor Life Church in Kampala, Uganda, which is the southern large city. We always go very far north to Gulu, Uganda. You've heard us talk about that many times, I'm sure. And we've begun to partner with them just about dreaming and praying about what we can do together in the north. And so really, without further ado, I'd love to just welcome Pastor Dora and Pastor Richard to come up. They're going to share a little bit for a few minutes, just so you guys can get a chance to meet them. Come on up.
Hello. Praise the Lord. Praise. In Uganda, we say praise the Lord. You say amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. My name is Richard, and this is my beautiful wife, Dora. We've been married the last 12 years, making 13 years in the next couple of months. But we got to know Pastor Justin a few years ago, and he passed through our church. I've been meeting so many people this weekend who have been to Uganda, but they always just go through all the way to Gulu. They never stop and greet us, but our coming here to Messina is to tell you, you have a home in Kampala. You don't have to go right past us. I'm going to ask Dora to say hello. We don't really have much to share. We just wanted to say hello to you and to give Pastor Justin the time to preach.
Amen. We are very delighted to be visiting with you here in Messina. We had the privilege of having Pastor Greg in Uganda at Life Church. He's been to Uganda multiple times, but at Life Church for the very first time, I think it was last year, and that was so wonderful, getting to know him, hearing about NTC, and so coming and being here with you and meeting all of you wonderful people has been such a privilege. We are very excited about the connection that God has made between us and you guys, and we cannot wait to see what God does through that in the next months and years. We are very upbeat, we're very honored, we're very delighted to meet you. Thank you for having us and hosting us so well. We already feel refreshed in just a few days of being on this side. And many greetings from Life Church Uganda. We are actually very excited to participate in Gulu. If you're familiar with Uganda, you know that if you live in Kampala and have never been to a place like Gulu, your mindset about it is a little bit warped until you go there. So when we eventually went there, our hearts were just connected to the place, and we are very excited to be going to Gulu and to be doing this together with NTC. Thank you for having us. Thank you, Pastor Greg. God bless you.
Okay, we didn't say about our family. We have, our family is large. We have two biological children and several other children. They all send their regards. And yeah, Pastor Greg, that's it. Yeah. Unless if you want us to say
anything. I'll talk about you guys a little more. No. So Pastor Dora and Richard, they're just incredible leaders. They have a church in Kampala. And Kampala is how many people? Like 4 million. And they have three campuses right in Kampala, four campuses now right in Kampala. They have a very large church, very incredibly impacting in that region. And they actually have a long history of connection to the larger family that we're a part of, MFI, specifically Ministers Fellowship International. And so it's funny that we've been going to Uganda and going to the north while they've actually been working there since the 1980s that life, or that it was Manor House, it was City Bible before that, had really sent missionaries into Uganda. And so there's a long, long history. They have incredible work going on there. And as we really prayed over the last number of years, because if you know some of our story with Uganda, sorry, I'm sucking on a cough drop so I don't cough at you the whole time. I'm still sick. But if you know some of our history, we've been going there, and at first we partnered with a children's home, and you know, that kind of went to a place where we realized we had to resettle those kids. We actually inherited that whole NGO when it was failing, and we resettled the kids. We spent years resettling these children into homes. We've been supporting these children to go through boarding school and training schools. Many of you are part of supporting that financially. We send teams there every year, or different groups of people. Kayla has lived there for many years of her life, the last 4 to 5 years. She's been there many times, and for long lengths of time. She's home now. And we continue to work there, but we've had this 20 acres of land that our church, and really High Peaks Church, invested so heavily to buy. And we've never done anything really for the gospel, at least, with it that we have wanted to do. And so we've talked about, how do we plant a church there? How could we see the kingdom of God build something that's sustainable? And I just have kind of kept it held open with an open hand for, oh my gosh, it's been too long now, probably 8 years since I became responsible for that NGO and that land and all this stuff. And we've been praying as elders and as leaders for Uganda for a long time. And finally, we met Pastor Richard and Dora and just really started to believe, hey, I think we can do something together. We probably can't do it by ourselves, but isn't that what the body of Christ is for? Right? We can do more together when we link arms with our brothers and sisters across the world. And it was funny, because when I started telling Pastor Richard about Gulu, he said, I have never been there. I said, you've never been to Gulu. So I said, you come to the north with me, and I will show you your own country. And so it was really funny. He came up with about 5 or 6 leaders and met me up in Gulu, Uganda. I was already there in August of last year. And here I am driving a van around Uganda. Now I know northern Uganda really well, and I'm showing them, like, oh, this is what's over here, and this is... showing them their own country. It was funny that the Mzungu, which just means I'm a white person, was showing the Ugandans their own country. But it is kind of been separated for many years because of the Kony War. Many of you know some about that, and this Joseph Kony character who enslaved 300,000 child soldiers. They pushed him out in around 2008, 2009 out of Uganda. He's really in the Republic of Congo now, southern Sudan, still doing the same things. It's horrendous. But the country kind of came back together at that time. And now the north is growing, it's flourishing. And like they said, sometimes you have mindsets about locations, right? We do the same thing in the north country, don't we? You have mindsets about locations, but the reality is God's heart is for every place. It's for every person. And so we're excited to see what God might do with us working together. And it was so great for them to come. We had a great meeting on Friday night. We're actually meeting with the NTC family leaders tonight for dinner, just to pray together and believe for what God can do. So I'd love for you to be praying with us, and we're going to be talking a lot more about the specifics of how we're going to partner with them in the future. So that is Uganda. We love Uganda. Thank you guys for flying the 28 hours to be in Messina with us. Just so you know, 28 hours. 8-hour time difference. They're still waking up at probably 2 a.m. Trying to get past that. So today, I want to just spend the rest of our time. I had a message for us last week. As many of you know, I just came down sick, and I was coughing to the point of gagging, and that just wouldn't be very pretty for you to watch. And so there's no way I was going to be able to speak, and I was really out of it. But I really have a message. I feel this message is supposed to set us up, at least for what I believe God wants to start working in us in a deeper way, at least the rest of this calendar year. And so the messages really from today all the way through the end of December are going to be in a theme. And the theme is growing up. One person thought it was funny. The rest of you are like, well, I'm all grown up. Don't tell me to grow up. You know, I can't tell you how many conversations I have. This is just, I'm going to give you a little insight into your pastoral mindset that when you sit with me sometimes. I can't tell you how many conversations I have with people. And usually this happens just when I'm tired, just so you know. I usually have more grace than this. But often I get through a conversation with people that are really dealing with stuff that maybe has been ongoing in their life, or maybe they're dealing with, you know, fights that they're having with other Christians or struggles they're having. And I think to myself, you just need to grow up. And my kids that are around me at home all the time, this is like the thing they probably hear the most. Usually they just like to tell me their age. So, because I do have a problem as a parent that I expect all my children to be like 25. Anybody else do that? So my 10-year-old, I'll be like, oh my gosh, Emma, you just need to grow up. She's like, I'm 10, Dad. And I'm like, that's true. You are 10. I have to have 10-year-old expectations, right? But there is something wrong with if you get to an age in real life and you're 25 and 35 and you're 45 and you're still doing the things that a 10-year-old does. Now, I'm just going to be a little bit rude about our own society right now. It has become unbelievably common for people to never grow up. For people to, unfortunately, find themselves with almost no responsibility. We see grandparents raising kids because something has happened in the midst of that where the responsibility is shucked or it's lost because of maybe difficult things and problems. But a lot of times it comes down to we haven't grown up very well. People don't always want to grow up. Because guess what growing up is? It means responsibility. I just laugh, right? The last 5-6 years this term has come around. What do we call it? Anybody? Adulting. I heard it over here in the young people's group. Adulting. You ever see this online that's like hashtag adulting sucks? I'm like, yeah, that's called life. You have to grow up. Things cost money. My kids still can't figure that out. Like we had a I think I might have already told this conversation, or maybe I had it with our team, but like about a week ago or a couple weeks ago, I saw one of our friends that just bought a Tesla, and I was looking at it, and the kids saw it, and they were all enthralled by this Tesla, right? Like, oh my God, look at this Tesla. So, like the next day at school, I come to pick my kids up, and there's a Tesla in the line of cars picking them up, and my kids go to the Tesla. I'm like, what are they doing? Now, they're a little, they don't have great boundaries. They go right over to the Tesla, and they're peering in this person's Tesla. I'm like, what are they doing? The person's in there, just so you know. They have no shame. And then they look all disappointed, and they look up, and they see me 4 or 5 cars down, and they walk to my 2011 Honda Pilot with 196,000 miles on it. And they open the door, and they go, Dad, we thought you bought a Tesla. I'm like, we looked at a Tesla for like 5 minutes. I thought it was cool. It doesn't mean I'm going out and buying one tomorrow, right? I'm like, guys, that's not how life works, right? There's this aspect when you're young, you don't understand how things are working. As we get older, we should actually grow into a mature place. The rest of us are going, well, I know what a Tesla costs, and I don't know if I can afford that payment or this one or that one. And so there's this thing about growing up that we don't love because it means there's responsibility. It means that there's discipline that actually has to come in our life. And really, a lot of what we're going to talk about these next number of weeks is discipline. Who likes that word? My wife might. That lady just loves to run, right? Like, I don't have that discipline at all. She is up before me. She's in bed after me. She is the most efficient human being I've ever met. I do not have the discipline of her. I have to work extremely hard to motivate myself to have any discipline. And even then, I'm still like, that donut looks good. And I eat the donut. I think, what's one more donut? And I say that to myself every day. And so discipline is hard. Adulting is hard. Growing up is hard. And what happens in our real life, we can see the consequences of that fairly easily, right? We can see the consequences of not having discipline or not having good work ethic or not adulting in a healthy way. We can find out we don't hold down jobs well, and we don't have money to pay bills well, or we end up living with our parents forever and ever and ever, and we don't do it well. We can see the consequences. In the spiritual world, we also have to grow up. In our spiritual life with Jesus, there's a growing up process that's supposed to take place. But sometimes Christianity, what we do to it is we make it a lot about salvation, which it absolutely is. We love the cross. We talk about salvation. We talk about it at the end of almost every single message. And so we love this salvation moment. And really, in the scriptures, you hear it said a different way. It's called being born again. Anybody ever heard the term? Being born again. But what's funny with Christianity, it's like, hey, I'm born again. And I just want to stay a baby in this crib forever and ever and ever. That's weird. We shouldn't stay babies after being born again. But once we're born again or we're saved and we receive the grace of Jesus on the cross, there's a process that's supposed to naturally happen where we grow up. We become what God has called us to be. It's not just the salvation or born again moment that matters. It is absolutely the start of new life, but new life means that a process of growth is supposed to take place. Anything that doesn't grow, we understand is unhealthy. Anybody that's had kids in here, you're constantly, especially in today's world, you're watching the milestones, right? You're watching every how many weeks did they grow this much? Did they gain weight, you know? How many times did you, if Josh and Jenna, I think Josh already went to Augsburg, but how many times did you guys weigh Ryder, right? Josh and Jenna and their little baby, and they're weighing them, right? You go to the hospital for checkups. Oh, they gained 2 pounds this week. That means they're healthy, they're growing. But anything that doesn't grow, we know, is unhealthy. Any plant that we plant and it grows up, but then it never bears the fruit it's supposed to, it never gets bigger like it's supposed to, we would go, well, something's wrong with that plant. It's not growing. The same is true for us as Christians. But often I think we come into Christianity, we receive Jesus, we love the benefits of being saved or knowing God, but yet we don't allow him to bring us through this growth process, and we trick ourselves into thinking that it's not unhealthy. It's actually very unhealthy. You're not supposed to stay the same. And like real life, you don't ever stop growing. Now, in real life, you physically might stop growing at some point. Well, at least taller. You might go out this way. But there's a process in our life in the real world, in the tangible world, where we're growing in maturity. We're growing in wisdom. We're growing in different ways that cause us to understand things more. Our mind is growing. There's a process we understand that from the beginning all the way to the end, there's a growth process. And when we stop or when we're maybe near the end and things begin to degrade, we understand this is near the end because life is no longer growing. And as a Christian, we can't live a life of Christianity, of following Jesus, where we never grow, where we stay babies or we stay toddlers in Christianity or we stay at a stagnant level and think that we're healthy even that way. Here's a scripture I want to read to you in Ephesians 4. We're going to spend a little bit of time there today. Ephesians 4, the book of Ephesians is called the letter to the church, right? Ephesians, you know, is a church of Ephesus, but in today's world we read Ephesians and it's a lot about the church. It helps us to understand what church life is supposed to be like or what the church should be like, what people in the church, in the Christ-following world are supposed to be like. And so Ephesians 4, we get this picture that starts to take place. And one of them is talking about these gifts given to the body. We're going to jump down now to verse 11. It says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. You've probably heard this if you've been in church at all. It says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. We've taught on this in years past. Many would refer to this as fivefold ministry, meaning there's these five gifts that we see God given, God gives to the body of Christ, gives to the church. And there's probably been some unhealthy views on this fivefold ministry. One thing I would just like to say about this is those are not titles to be given, yet functions. You know, Paul never introduces himself as Apostle Paul. We say that, but he says, I'm Paul, an apostle, sent by Jesus Christ to deliver the gospel to you. He describes his function. Apostle just means sent one, by the way. Prophet means one who declares a message from God. And so these gifts were given to the body as functions that were called to happen. I think that all of us operate in some of those functions. So you've got these functions given to the body, but then it says this. It says, verse 12, their responsibility. So you've got some that are given this responsibility in the body of Christ is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So one of my jobs is to build you up. To build you up means to help you grow up. To help you look at your life and determine what needs to happen, what needs to change, and to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and empower a supernatural growth in your life. Part of my job is to help push you in that direction, to help build you up so that we can actually be what God's called us to be. It says to build up the church, the body of Christ, verse 13. It says, this will continue. So the job of the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, whose job is to help build you up, to build up the church. It says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Let's just read that again because it's a lot. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith, knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Wow. Anybody there yet? I'm not. I would guess, just my best guess, that we probably don't quite get there until we're with him in heaven. That this process actually never ends for us. That we don't quite ever reach the full and complete standard of Christ. Which means that there's this tension we live in, that there's a goal line that we're aiming for that almost means we always have to go towards it. We're always working towards it. So whether you've been in this room and this is your first time in a church and you might not even know if you know who Jesus really is yet, and maybe by the end of today, you decide to join God's family. Or maybe you're in this room and you've been following Jesus for 50 years of your life. Part of our job is to wonder if we're measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Part of our job is to say, God, are we in such unity and faith that we're mature in the Lord? Maturity. This is a interesting word. It means to be developed. We always put maturity in the idea of thinking about age, but I will tell you what, I've met plenty of people who are greater in years, but are not overly mature. You see, maturity can be something that actually eludes you even if you get older. Maturity is something that means you develop. You actually turn into something else. That you were one thing, but you go through a process in life that causes you to become something more than you were. You're maturing. You're growing into something. And so here we've got Paul writing to the Ephesian church, and he's saying, listen, These gifts that God's given to the body, they're called to build you up. And they're going to work until this happens. And what we know is that probably is going to take a long time. I think one of the frustrating things that happens in Christianity for people is we get saved or we come to Jesus and we have these miraculous moments, like these event moments where we experience His love and His grace and we experience His forgiveness and we experience miracles even in our life. But then we forget that there's a process that's going to come into our life that takes a long time. I mean, I think we think it takes a long time, but I'm also thinking about God, who's outside of time. And so even if it takes me 80 years of my life to somewhat grow to the place God has called, it's probably just the blink of an eye for Him. But for us, it feels like it's this long process. And I think sometimes in Christianity, we shortchange the growth process that God has because we're not satisfied with how fast it happens. I do this to just about any kind of plant. In fact, my wife and I are like, we should not ever be given plants. Our kids always bring them home and you're supposed to water them and take care of them. I'm like, if I don't see something growing out of that pot of dirt in 4 days, I'm throwing it in the garbage. I'm like, oh, this dirt. Because the kids are always poking it and then they're getting dirt everywhere. And I'm like, ugh, get the dirt outside. And so I get annoyed and I literally shortchange the life of this little plant that just needed maybe a little more time, a little more patience. Sometimes I get really dumb and I look to see if the seed is still in there. Anybody ever done that? I don't know if it's because I think my kids took it out or if I'm not sure they actually even planted something and they just brought a cup of dirt home instead. But I'm like, I want to make sure. Is it in there? But then usually what happens when you do that? You kill it. And we can do the same thing in our life with Jesus, right? We get frustrated by the slow process of growth and we shortchange it. And so we might dig it up again and we're like, where's that seed? Excuse me. We're like, where's that seed? Why isn't it growing? And they're like, oh, it is in there. And so we have to like tuck it back down and water it again. And we might wait 4 more days. And then we're like, where's that seed? And over in our life, we kind of shortchange the process of growth that Jesus has for us because we don't love how long it takes. Maturing in Christ, maturing in the Lord is not a quick process, I promise you. For me, the realization of this actually should become comforting. Because I think also what happens is we come to Jesus, we have these amazing moments with Him, and then the next day we're like, we're going to be 100% different. And then you're still the same you a little bit. You still get mad. You still say the same things. You might fall in the same sin pattern in your life. And you're like, well, geez, did that even work? Did that do anything? And we get discouraged by the fact that growth takes time. And so we shortchange it or we give up on it. We stop watering it. We start maybe watering and feeding the very things that we need to kill in our life. And we shortchange the growth process of God. The other thing that happens in Christianity is we shortchange the process for each other. We look at other people and we're like, you're so slow. And you got two little petals over there. When are you going to grow? And then we start fussing with their life. Maybe digging up the seed that God's planted in them because we think they should grow faster than they have. Well, you've known Jesus for a year and you're still doing that same thing. Well, I'm going to dig that thing up. And we can actually be the cause of why other people don't grow. We're going to read a scripture about it shortly. And so there's ways that we end up shortchanging the process of growth in our life that Jesus wants us to grow into maturity, but we end up just not being that. We end up staying kind of toddlers or babies in Christ. And this is what Paul is writing. In fact, many of his letters are this very challenge to them. Excuse me. He's challenging them to grow up. He's challenging them to not remain the same. And so Ephesians 4 is this beginning. He says, then you'll measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We just get to verse 14. Then he says this. Then you, thank you. You're so good to me. He says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Can I be a little bit rude? A little pinchy here? A little pokey? I think one of our biggest struggles in the United States of America right now is that we're so immature we believe everything we hear. And so we get tossed around by every wind of new teaching. It's not just talking about someone standing at a pulpit teaching you. It's talking about every teaching agenda that's out there. So every time you turn on the news, every time you listen to a podcast, every time you read a certain article, or every time you maybe share certain memes, it's like we're getting tossed around by the winds of new teaching. And that happens because we're a little bit immature. We don't have this stability and maturity of Christ to see through the thickness of lies and disinformation. And honestly, at times I'm surprised by Christians who get caught up so easily in sensationalism. But what it usually speaks to me is, oh, we need to grow up a little more. Even for my own life, there's times where I get caught up in something and sensationalism, something going on, and I start to go in that direction, and then there's a check in my spirit, and I realize, wait a second, I don't think this is where Christ is actually leading me. This is the wind trying to blow me off course just a little bit. And what's funny is, have you ever been in a real windstorm before? So I lived in Florida for a short period, and I have never seen a rain windstorm like I have when I lived in Florida. The palm trees were literally bent over like this. It wasn't quite a hurricane. What do they call it when it's not a hurricane? It's a tropical storm. And I was young, and so I was a little bit dumb. I'm like, I want to go outside in this. I want to see what this is like. I mean, I remember full tilt leaning into it, feeling like someone was actually hitting me in the face with pellets, not rain. And it would push me around. Winds of doctrine or winds of new teaching here aren't just winds. Sometimes they're full gale force. And what it takes is some real resistance to say, wait a second, I'm not just going to go where this wind is pushing me. I need to determine where it's leading me. And so maturity is what we see is the answer to that. Growing up in Jesus is how we don't get tossed around. And then it goes verse 15, instead we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, growing up in every way. It says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Now listen to this verse. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Think about this. One of the reasons maybe we remain immature is not just because of your own choices, but because of the ones sitting next to you. And what it's saying is this, when you neglect stepping into the call of God in your life, you've actually restricted other people from growing up. You know, a few weeks ago, Amy Wilson came to me and she said, hey, I'd love to start a small group that's about people stewarding their prophetic word. And I was like, this is an incredible idea. Why didn't we do this forever? And so she's starting this small group where we've all maybe had people pray over us and speak words that are from God over our lives, and we hear them and we're like, oh, that's such a great word. And then we're like, hope it happens. But yet there's a call for us to actually steward that word, and there's a part that we play in the happening of that word. And Amy says, I'm going to take my gift and I'm going to start a group where I can help people grow and steward that. What if Amy didn't do that? What if we decided not to have freedom groups in some of our house churches in here? What if we decided not to hold classes? What if all of us decided not to do any small groups? How much would we grow? Not very much. Us stepping into the call of God is not just about our life. It actually helps others to grow up in theirs. And it says that when they are fit together perfectly, meaning that every one of us says, I'm going to do what I'm called to do. And the person next to you says, I'm going to do what I'm called to do. That the two actually work together to cause us to become mature. So some of our immaturity is because some of us don't believe that we have a gift that helps others. You have a gift that helps others to grow. What is it? Maybe it's as simple as encouragement. Maybe it's as simple as putting your hand on someone's shoulder every time you see him and just saying, you're doing a great job. Even if it's not true. I tell you what, that person's built up in that moment. They're going, oh, I probably not, but I'm going to try harder. What if we actually encouraged one another? What if we didn't downplay even the small gifts, the things that we don't think are important? What if we actually started to use them in the body? I think we would grow to a place of maturity that we've never seen before. Don't neglect your gifting and calling, causing other people to not be able to mature in the Lord. Whatever that gift is. He says it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Think about this. Healthy, growing, full of love. This is a simple idea, but maybe a little complicated in its outworking, but shouldn't this be a goal for us to be healthy, growing, and full of love? This is part of the maturity that God's calling us to. It's part of the growing up that he's calling us to do. To work together, to see the body of Christ become what it's called to be, to not be tossed around by winds of doctrine. Our growth is interdependent on the growth and choices of each other, even if we don't like that. It just is. I would say that one of the biggest causes of people either stagnating in their walk with God or declining in their walk with God is isolation. It's when maybe life happens and someone hurts your feelings or you feel like you're not wanted or maybe you feel overlooked or the enemy comes and lies to you about your place in the church or the body of Christ or how people feel about you and you start to retract and you start to maybe cut ties off from people you know, and you become isolated. And when we're isolated, I'm telling you, it's nearly impossible to grow. When you're isolated, you don't have all the fertilizer you need to see the growth of God in your life. Don't believe the lies that you can do this alone. You can't. We need each other and we need the Holy Spirit to help us to grow into all God's called us to be. 2 Timothy 4. You've got Paul writing to his son in the faith. Timothy was the pastor of the church in Ephesus. So first the church in Ephesus gets a letter and then Paul's like, I'm also going to write to Timothy about how he's leading and the work he's doing there. And he says this in verses 7 and 8. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Some of your translations say sound mind there. But sound mind, if you look up the background of the words and stuff, it actually means to be disciplined. To have a stable mindset in the decisions that you make. And so a lot of the newer translation, the ESV, the NLT, they say self-discipline. So God has given us a spirit, not of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Self-discipline. I think to myself, sometimes we like to put all the weight on Jesus. Now here's the thing. Jesus takes most of the weight of your life. Like a lot of it. But he doesn't take all of it. In fact, if you start to read throughout the letters in the New Testament, Colossians 3, 1:16, let's just turn there real quick. Colossians 3, 1-16, I'm going to read this kind of quick, but I'm going to make a big point. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these sins, the anger of God comes. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now it's time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves. Wow, this one's got me in my throat. Give me a second. I got another one in my pocket. Excuse me. What's the theme of those scriptures? What does it say over and over? Get rid of. Clothe yourself. You stripped away. Over and over, there's responsibility on our shoulders. He says, since you have been raised to new life, set your sights. It doesn't say Jesus will set your sights for you. It doesn't say He'll strip away the old desires. It doesn't say that He puts the new nature on you, which is kind of crazy, because I think He kind of does in other scriptures, but in this one, He's saying, put on the new nature. Clothe yourself. Most of us get dressed by ourselves. Most of us put on our own clothes. And the nature and maturity that God has for us is something we do have to do, and there's a responsibility on us to do it. So the question is, are we going to actually act in that way? Are we going to actually grow up to a place where we realize it isn't just on Jesus to do this? So I come to church and I receive His grace, and you can't do anything for that. You see, the truth is He does all the hard work first. He does the part you can't do. And then He even sends us an advocate because He probably knows we can't do this very well. He says, I'm going to send you someone. He'll lead you into truth. He'll help you. He'll build you up. And so He gives us the tools we need, but there's still something on us, a responsibility set on us to choose the things that cause us to grow up. If I can put it in this way, you're the only one that holds the watering can. The seed's in the dirt. It understands what it's supposed to do. God only can cause that thing to actually grow, but the only one who can water it is you. He's even given you the water. He's given you the can. He's telling you, just pour a little bit on there. It'll grow. It might be slow. Don't poke at it. Don't dig it up. Don't shortchange it. Just let it grow. But he's saying you need to help it grow. And I think as Christians, and I think specifically for us as a church, God wants us to deepen our walk with him and to mature and grow up in him. No matter where we're at with Christ, no matter how far we've come, no matter how far he has for us to go, we don't want to get into this place of complacency and just existing and just staying the same. God wants us to grow up in him. Why don't we stand this morning? Putting up with my coughing and snot-faced here. Oh my gosh. Self-discipline. Self-discipline. It's something we have to do. Jesus meets us halfway. The Holy Spirit meets us halfway. He'll empower you to do it. But there is something about self. It's a choice we have to make. This is what I want to do to end today. You know, we're going to have some folks up front ready to pray for you. And if you're in this room and maybe you're listening and you've never even made the decision to say, you know what, Jesus, I want to follow you. Maybe you've never let God plant that seed in your life that causes transformation. Maybe you've never received this moment of grace where his salvation comes in and we're born again. That this old life that we've had, that we know is not what it's supposed to be, that it can pass away and a new life can begin. If you're in this room and that's you, this is a moment. This is a moment that you shouldn't let pass by. And what I'm going to do is, if those teams can come forward that are ready to pray, I'd like to have you right up here so people can see you, right in the front of the aisles. I'm going to ask you to come forward, and it's kind of a scary thought to do this, because you've probably come to church today, maybe you don't even know God really well, and someone's asking you maybe to give your life to Christ for the first time and walk forward in front of everybody. I'm telling you this. There's something incredibly powerful about leaving a place where you're comfortable and going out of that place. And I'm telling you that following Jesus isn't a simple thing to do. And so I don't want to make it so easy that you walk out and you stay a baby the rest of your life. I want it to be a little bit of a challenge, and it might be you in this room, and if your heart's beating out of your chest and you know God's tugging on you and you don't even understand it, this is your moment to walk forward. I'm going to pray, and when I'm done praying, I'm going to say, if that's you and you want to give your life to Christ for the first time, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And then I'm going to take a moment to pray for the rest of us. God, we thank you that you're in this place. We thank you we're in this room. God, we ask right now that you would just come, your presence would come, God, you would challenge us. But God, for people in this room that maybe have never given their life to you, that they've never let that seed go down and actually take root. Maybe there's some in this room that have actually planted the seed, but they dug it back up and they threw it away. God, God, I pray right now that you would work in their hearts. God, you would draw on them in this moment, that this would be a moment that seed goes in deep and it begins to grow in maturity in you. In Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, I'd ask you to come forward right now. Just going to give a moment. Even if it's just one person. Thank you. There's people right over here on the side or on this side as well. A few other leaders could come forward, please. There's some extras. As they're getting prayed for right now down front, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of us, because I'm not going to let anybody get away today. I'm just going to assume that the rest of us in this room, we know Jesus, and we've asked him into our life, and we've had that seed take root, but we're saying today, it needs to grow a little more. And so the rest of us, I'm just going to ask, could you just lift one of your hands or two of your hands, just as a sign of surrender, saying, God, I want to grow. I don't want to stay stagnant. And I'm going to pray over you. Father, we thank you this morning that you come to cause us to grow. You come to challenge us, Jesus. Maybe in a sense, you come to wake us up a little bit, that we've become satisfied in certain areas of our life of just staying immature and not growing and not stepping into all you've called us to be. God, I even pray right now that people in this room would be able to put down the lies of the enemy that would say, you're not valuable in this church. You're not valuable to others. God, that we would take up the calling of God in our lives and we would help others grow. God, I pray that every person in this room would begin to clothe themselves every day with new disciplines. God, starting with prayer. God, that we would set time aside. We would pray to you, Father. We would put our beliefs in you, God, that we would spend time in your presence, that we would begin these disciplines of our life to put something new on so that we would grow into the maturity you have for us. So, Father, I ask right now that your Holy Spirit would come, that you would work in this place. God, that you would cause us to grow in a new way. And God, I even pray that you'd begin to speak to each person in here. Maybe just individual specifics of areas in our life that you would just say, hey, this is an area that needs to change. This is a place where you need to grow up a little bit. This is a spot that you need to let me help you mature in. These are some things that maybe are hindering your growth. God, that this week you would begin to speak to us and cause us to grow in maturity to you. God, we give you our lives in a fresh way in Jesus' name.
You know, I've had the privilege of being in the car a couple times with Greg, and he looks at me and he says, can I push you a little bit? And I have given him permission to do that, to say, hey, push me. Let me see something. It's a good word, isn't it? Is everybody okay with being pushed a little bit? Why don't we, as he's headed out to Ogdensburg to share this message again, can we just pray for him and pray for anybody that's sick? Jesus, we just pray for your touch to be over Greg's cough, over his lungs, over his throat, God, over his body, that you do a work in him, even right now, as he heads in the car to go out to Ogdensburg to speak this word again and to challenge and to stir us up, God. We pray for your healing touch over him, God. And anybody else in this room or in our lives that needs a healing touch, we just ask that you be there for us, God, that we see your stripes applied to our bodies, God. And as Greg has pushed a little bit this morning, and as we do that for one another, that as we read the scriptures and we allow it to do its work in us, to mature us, God, help us to receive what you have for us and to do the work ourselves so that we can build each other up, build ourselves up into the fullness of you. Jesus, as you've modeled to us what humanity is supposed to look like, God, help us, guide us, lead us, challenge us, poke us, prod us to better reflect you in our world. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Guys, it's good to do life with you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.